Let's make your way back to your seats. We're going to begin our time of worship through song. Glad you're here this morning. And hope you're ready to sing. So let's stand up and worship the Lord.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To love.
One more time on that.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're alive.
Amen. Ready to praise the Lord some more? Here we go. An oldie but a goodie, as they sometimes say. We Bow Down by Twyla Paris, for those of you who remember this song, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You are Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. Bow down and we crown you the King. Bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be. King of all kings you will be.
If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that you are the King of creation. Lord, that you are the maker of all that we can see, all that we experience, Lord. That you give us the sun that rises, Lord, you give us the rain. Lord, you give us the crisp temperatures in the morning. Lord, all that we have, Lord, all good things have come from your hands. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning to be here. Lord, to gather together with other believers, Lord, to study your word, Lord, to share our requests and our praises with one another, Lord, to bear one another's burdens, Father. And it begins here, but it doesn't end here, Lord. I pray that we continue to fellowship and worship and love one another even as we leave this place. Father, I pray in these moments that you would still our heart and our mind. Lord, that you would focus our attention this morning, Lord. That you would open our ears to hear your voice, Lord. That you would prepare our hearts to receive your truth, Lord. That it might bring forth fruit in our life. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us in these moments, Lord. Bring us before your throne. Give us a vision of who you are. And Lord, may we truly worship you with all that is within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're probably wondering what this next hymn is. You're saying, but we don't know this hymn. Actually, we do. You know the tune, just different words. We've used to singing this hymn as God our Father, we adore thee. These are different words by Claire Cloninger. And, very good words about our nation turning around and turning back to the Lord and following his commands.
I will not withhold.
morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning, Father. We thank you for your many blessings upon us. We thank you for your love, your grace, Father. May we not take it for granted. Father, we just pray that these offerings, tithes and offerings, will be used to further the message of your love and your grace throughout the community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now, before we begin this anthem, you guys can do your thing. I have a little instruction for you, congregation. We have a number of veterans here. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. And so we do this anthem every year, or at least the past few years, to recognize. You're going to hear five excerpts of five songs of the armed forces. When you hear your branch of the military for which you are a veteran, we want you to stand so folks can see who you are. They are in the following order: Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Marines. Those five. Yes, we got Coast Guard in here, so in case there's a Coast Guard veteran. When your music is done for your branch, you can sit down again. When you hear your music come on, you stand up and remain standing during that song. So this is Salute to the Armed Forces.
Anchors away, my boys,
Well, thank you, choir, and thank you, those of you who have defended our freedoms. This is our last Sunday in the series on prayer, so if you want to open up your Bibles to one of the passages we're going to look at, it's going to be Philippians 4, chapter 6. So after this week, I'll take the table and dishes and all back home, and one of my daughters will be very happy to have her cups back. So anyway. Well, I really want to begin just by, since we've been doing this for 4 weeks and had a break last week, to begin with kind of a reminder of where we've been. So I think it's up there. If you've got your bulletin insert, it's at the end, prayer, where have we been? So the first place we started with the idea was that prayer was a conversation with our Father, and so we needed to listen, all right? So can you say that with me? Prayer is a conversation with our Father. We need to listen. Okay. Often we do a lot of talking and not so much listening in our prayer. All right. Then the following week we talked about the fact that we can pray anywhere and any time, but we need to set aside a time. All right. So you can say that one with me. We can pray anywhere and any time, but we need to set aside time. Right? And then the third week, we talked about the fact that we can pray for our physical needs, but we cannot neglect the deeper spiritual needs. Right? So can you say that with me? We should pray for our physical needs, but we cannot neglect the deeper spiritual needs. And for those of you who were there that Sunday, I had you break into little groups and to talk with those people around you about spiritual needs that they have either in their life or for family, friends, and loved ones. And so hopefully you've added that to your prayer list so that you are praying for people about those things. And follow up at the end of the service today. Talk to some of those same people. Ask how things are going. Ask if they've got other needs, all right? Just because we did that once, and I'm not going to necessarily make you do that again, doesn't mean that you can't talk to the people around you and ask what spiritual needs they have, okay? We all have physical needs, and we definitely need to pray for those, but we don't want to neglect the spiritual needs, because the salvation of loved ones is of eternal significance. All right, when I get to heaven, this ear problem I've gone, it's done. It's taken care of. I've got a new body. But I want family and friends with me there when we get to that new heaven, that new earth that I talked about last week. All right. So this final week, I want to talk about the fact that we can ask for anything in prayer. And so to that point, Paul says this in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, so if you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you that we are able to come before you in prayer. Well, the author of Hebrews reminds us that because of the work of Christ on the cross, because he has paid the price for our sins, because he has entered into the holy place and placed his own blood upon the altar that is in heaven, Lord, that we are able to boldly come before your presence in our time of need. And Lord, that may be a need in our life, Lord. That may be a need in a family member's life. That may be a need in a friend's life. That may be a need in a stranger that we happen to meet, but that you bring us together and we hear of a need that they have that we're able to bring before your throne. And I thank you that you intercede on our behalf, that you act on our behalf, that you hear what we pray, Lord. And that you respond. Father, I pray that you would continue to grow us in our prayer life, Lord, that although this is the end of the series, this is not the end of our growth in prayer. And I pray that you would continue to teach us and instruct us from your word, Lord, how it is that we can pray and what things we should be praying for, and that we would be growing in that listening for your voice as well. Father, guide us as we look over your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point in the outline says that we can ask for big things. Is there anything that's impossible for God? No. God himself says that I am God. There is nothing that I cannot do. I think part of the record of Scripture is to remind us of who God is and what God has done. Genesis begins with this idea that there is absolutely nothing. There's nothing there. There's just the Trinity that has been there for eternity past. And because we've got to speak in human terms, we say eternity past. But for God, it wasn't eternity past. God is just there. But in the midst of nothing, absolutely nothing, the author of Genesis says that God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And out of that, everything that we see, whether it's from the edges of the universe down to the inner parts of atoms, God made it all out of nothing. Now, if God made everything from the far reaches of the universe down to the intricate cells that are in our body, if he spoke them into existence, if he made them out of his divine mind, then there's nothing that God can't do because he made it all and he controls it all and he holds it all in the palm of his hand. So we can ask God for big things. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says this: "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." You know what Paul's saying there? That God can do more than we ask. That often we ask for things that are too small. God is over everything. What are the big things that you can ask for? What are the burdens that God lays on your heart? The end of the sex trafficking trade? That seems overwhelming to us if we even contemplate all that's involved in that, right? These young ladies that are abducted or even by their families, they're delivered into that lifestyle, depending on where you are in the country. And they're delivered into that, and they're whisked away to far off places. Young ladies between the ages of 8 and 20. But you know, we can pray that God will bring an end to it. It's not too small for God to do. Is there a people group that God lays on your heart? I've got a book in my office that works you through the different countries of the world. And in that book, it tells you about the different people groups. And it tells you about the struggles that are happening in these countries. It's with Africa or Europe or South America, Central America. You know, you can pray for a people group that God will open the doors for the gospel to be shared. That the people will respond. That there'll be a great moving of the Spirit in that place such that these people groups will no longer be unreached. But that God will do a mighty work in them so that there'll be Christians. You know, one of my big prayers is for Greenfield. Every Tuesday, I'm over there helping to deliver food into that place. I wouldn't surprise you to tell you that some people don't want to go in there. It doesn't have a good reputation. there are bad things that happen there. I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't drugs that are in there, that there isn't prostitution happening in there, that there aren't gangs in there. But I pray that God pushes back the darkness. I pray that God transforms that place from the darkness and the dark reputation it has now to a place where God is moving and it becomes a lighthouse into the community. I pray that Greenfield becomes a city on a hill in the midst of Lynchburg. Because you know what? That's not too small for God. I don't know what it is about EC Glass, but it seems like there are a lot of things that happen in our city that come to happen there. You know, the young football players that got shot. Several months ago. It's not recently, but... And it seems like there's division that happens in there. There are children that are scared to go there because of the gangs that are in that school. So I pray for EC Glass because that's not too small for my God to make a change in that place. We often focus on ourselves. You know, there's something about called praying in circles. So praying in circles begins with praying for yourself, and then you pray for your family, and then you pray for your friends, and then you work your way out into your community, and you work your way then into the nation, you work your way into the world. So you start small and you work your way out. Well, often our prayers, they don't make it too far out of the center of that circle. But you know what? Our God is an amazing God who can do amazing things, and there is nothing that is impossible for Him. And so I think that the Church of Christ needs to start praying for big things. What are big things that you would like God to see do in our church? Things that you'd say, you know, we don't have the money, we don't have the people, we don't have the resources to do it, but God, I want to see you do an amazing thing through Chestnut Hill Baptist Church. And just pray big things that God can do through us. You know, our nation, every time I turn on the news, I hear about the division. And I hear about it's not even discourse that happens on Capitol Hill anymore. It's basically just about name calling and theatrics. We can pray that God will change that. Because, you know, that's not beyond my God to do. Jonah understood that, didn't he? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because Jonah knew that God could do an amazing thing in Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want it to happen. But what does Jonah do? Jonah walks into Nineveh and he says, "Repent. Destruction is at hand." I'm not even sure how heartily he said it. Maybe he whispered it practically under his breath, hoping nobody would even hear him. But God stirred in those people. And so the king of Nineveh says, "Everybody on sackcloth, even down to the cows in the field, put on sackcloth on the cows outside, because maybe God will hear. And not bring destruction." And it happened. We need to pray for big things. Because God can do big things. And often we don't see big things happen because we don't ask. It's not that God can't do it. But I think there's a connection between our prayers and what God chooses to do. And so when we simply ask for small things, God simply gives us small things. But if we ask for big things, God will give us big things because God is able to do it. James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 says this, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months." That's a big prayer. Elijah said, God, these people need to know that you are in control. Don't let it rain here for 3 years. And it didn't. I mean, does that blow your mind? Can you even think of praying something that big? And yet that's what Elijah did. And James specifically brings Elijah out because he's saying that Elijah was a man just like us. It's not that Elijah was some super amazing person that we can't do something like him. Now, I don't know if God's calling you to ask that it doesn't rain in America for 3 years and 6 months. I mean, it might be a task, something that big that it would take to turn this country around. But James just wants us to see the power of prayer. And then when we ask for big things, that God will give us big things. And then he says in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Do you remember that story? It's at the end of the Mount Carmel when he calls down the fire on the altar, which that's a big prayer, right? God, show these people that you are the living God who hears and responds. And a ball of fire comes out of heaven, consumes the animal on the altar and all the water that was on it. That's a big prayer. But then after that, Elijah prays that it's going to rain. And he sends his servant. He says, go check. See what you see. He said, I don't see anything yet. So Elijah prays again. And so he says, now go check. And then his servant says, I see the cloud the size of a fist coming up out of the water. And Elijah says to Ahab, you better go now because the rains are coming. If you don't want to get on your stuck in your chariot in the rain, leave now. And the rains came. Now we think, oh, well, that's a Bible story. That's something I read to my children when they were young. That's something that I read when I was young. That happened a long time ago. But we live in a different age. You know what? God hasn't changed. God can still do big things. It's not a story. It's a record of what God did in response to the prayers of a man. So what are your big prayers? If you've got a pen, if you've got a pencil, write something down. What big thing would you pray for the kingdom of God? You know, we've got in Leap, there's a couple, Joshua and his wife, Sora. They're praying that God is going to open the door for them to go into North Korea. They're perched and ready, just waiting for God. That's their prayer. Does that seem amazing to us? You know, we're celebrating now, I don't know what the number anniversary is, but the fall of the Berlin Wall. There are people that prayed for that, and there are people that said, that'll never happen. But it did, didn't it? Because God does amazing things. Because God breaks down barriers. Because God breaks down both physical and spiritual walls. Because God wants people to hear His gospel. God will do things. And God is pained by what He sees. And God will make changes. What are your big prayers? All right, second point of your outline says that we can ask for small things. All right, so yes, we need to pray for big things. We need to pray that God would move in a mighty, amazing ways. But you know what? We also need to pray for small things. Because you know what? God cares about the small things in your life. Look what Jesus says. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 to 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So Jesus is saying that
even the sparrows that are sold for a couple bucks, that they matter to God. But if they matter to God, don't you think that you matter all the more? Okay, as I read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, what I see in there is that God spoke the animals into existence. But then there's something completely different when he talks about the fact that he formed the man out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into him. All right, what I see there is that God made the animals, but God crafted man in his own image. There's something unique about man that the animals don't hold. I don't see in there any way that we came from the animals. I don't see evolution there. What I see is a God who created man for a specific purpose. So Jesus is saying, God cares about these little sparrows, but he cares more about you. So the little things in your life, you figure, well, no, you know, God doesn't need to be troubled by my prayers on that thing. Well, you know, first of all, God's not troubled by your prayers. God can handle them all. All right. We try to imagine God as just kind of a supersized us. All right. So your kids come to you with the small things and you think, you know, really you can handle that yourself. Go back and take care of that. You do that. I don't have time to handle that small problem that you've got. But God is not like that. God can hear everybody's prayers at once, and God can handle everybody's prayers at once, and God's not ever overwhelmed. Now, I can't say that about myself. I am often overwhelmed, particularly when I walk in the door and things, you know, all the troubles of the day come and hit me, or as we're trying to get out the door and all the troubles of life are hitting you as you're trying to get out the door, and we get overwhelmed, but God doesn't get overwhelmed. And so God cares about that test that you're taking in French or that math class. God cares about the fact that your hip is hurting. God cares about the fact that you're going to the doctor. God cares about the fact that you're going to the dentist. And nobody, I don't think anybody likes to go to the dentist. I've never met anybody that looks forward to going to the dentist with great anticipation. You know, God cares about all these things, even the things that we think are so small. You know, God cares about them because they matter to you. And when they matter to you, they matter to God. And not only that, but the idea that I can handle this, I don't need to trouble God with that, it promotes this idea of independence, of self-sufficiency. Well, that's a small problem. I can handle that. I'll just go to God with the big ones. Well, you know what? We can't handle the small ones. I mean, we really can't. We think we can, but we can't handle the small one without God's help. Because it's God that enables us to get up and to go out. It's God that enables us to remember the things that we study. It's God that's there in the small things. We're dependent on God for the small things as much as the big things. So what are the small things that you need to give to God? Nothing is too small. When I go over to LGH, I'm always praying about a parking space. Because those of you that go there, know you can drive around all day long and not find a parking space. Is it a small thing for me to pray for a parking space? I mean, the nations aren't rising and falling on whether I find a parking space. I don't guess that there's any eternal significance to the parking space, but I pray because I don't like driving in circles. So basically I'll go to the places I like to park in and I'll do maybe one circle. And at that point I give up and I just go find one of the far off parking spaces and have to walk. Now, I know some people that will just keep doing circles. It's like you all are at the Black Friday sale at the mall, and you're going to, like, wait until somebody comes out of the hospital and you stalk them as they go to their car so that you can find a parking space. But I don't have that much patience and time. I give it one good shot and then I'll go to the far off places. You know, they're clergy parking spaces, but nobody really pays attention to the fact that they're clergy parking spaces because non-clergy people park in them. So anyway, God wants us to come to him in both the big things, but also the small things. Because you know what? Prayer is a conversation. And sometimes our conversations are about small things, aren't they? You talk with friends about the smallest details of your life because you want them to hear, because they're important to you. Prayer is a conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. So we pray about the big things. We pray about the small things. We just have an ongoing conversation about God, about everything that comes in our heart and our mind. And we lay out our dependence on him. What are the small things in life that you need to give to God? Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about everything. And then Paul gives us three attitudes that go with that. But in everything, by prayer, right? So in the recognition that we are speaking to God, remember, it's a conversation, but it's with our Heavenly Father. So as we come before God in prayer, there's a mental attitude, a spiritual attitude that goes with that. But everything by prayer and supplication, all right? Supplication is the idea that we're coming before a God who can handle the problem and that we can't. So there's a mental attitude there that God, you're able to do everything. And even the small things I think I can do, I really can't do. God, I need your help in this. Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Right? Thanksgiving for what God has already done in the past. I mean, that's why we have the biblical record. The Bible tells us that we have the Old Testament stories so we can see who God was, and God hasn't changed. So we also, when we see who God was, we see who God is and who God will be. And so we can come in thanksgiving of what God has already done in our life. And also this attitude that, God, when I give it to you, you've got the power to handle it. And so we can give thanks to God that what we're even giving to him now, he's already got worked out. So through prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, all right? Now that's the thing we're bringing. Let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, take it to God. What are your big prayers? What are your small prayers? Point number three, ask one more time. Right? Ask one more time. Right? Because Jesus gives this illustration. Verse 1, it says, then he, that is Jesus, spoke a parable to them. And in your I had it underlined in yours. So the purpose of the parable is that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Okay? And now he's going to talk about a lady who keeps praying. So what Jesus is saying, it's not just me saying it, but what Jesus is saying is don't lose heart and keep praying. So he gives a story. He says there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a long time, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, that is Jesus says, hear what the unjust judge said. And let me pause there for just a minute. Right? Sometimes when we look at the Bible stories, we try to figure out, okay, well, where is God in this story? This parable is not about God. This parable about is a wicked judge who, because this lady pestered him, he finally gave in. And Jesus' point is that God is better than that judge. God is not that judge. It's not teaching us that God is doesn't care and just answers because we annoy him so much that he's finally going to answer. God says if a human will do that, how much more so will your heavenly Father, who is better than the city judge, who is your Father, who loves you and actually cares about you. All right, so this is what Jesus says. Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Right, that last sentence is kind of a challenge. What kind of faith do we have? Do we have enough faith to pray for big things? Do we have enough faith to keep praying for the things that are on our heart? Right? Sometimes we just need to be willing to ask one or 101 more times. Sometimes we just need to ask again. I've talked to some of you, and I know the burdens that you have for family members who've turned their back on God. And so I pray, so you pray, and you don't see a change in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But you keep praying. Because it's still important to you. Because even though we don't see it, I believe that God is working. God is acting. God is moving. And we pray again. Paul says that he prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh. And I don't think that was 3 separate occurrences. I don't think he prayed on a Monday, and then the next month he prayed on a Tuesday, and then the next month he prayed on a Friday, and he said, I prayed 3 times. No, I think Paul prayed for 3 periods. And he said, God, remove this thorn from my flesh. Now, the answer he got was not the answer he wanted. But God says, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. I still pray that God's going to heal my ear. He hasn't healed it yet, but I keep praying because I know that God can. And God may choose to. He may just be waiting for something particular to come. Okay? But I pray again. We all have things in our life that we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed. And Satan wants us to get discouraged and say, you know what? God's not listening, God doesn't care, or God's not going to answer you. That's what Satan wants us to believe. So Jesus tells us a parable like this to tell us to not give up. To keep praying. And so I think sometimes that goes back to the big prayers, the big things that we're praying for. Maybe you're praying for the end of the sex trafficking. Maybe you're praying for some of these big things. You're praying for borders to come down and doors to open for the gospel to be spread. You're praying for these big things. And you're just, sometimes Satan just wants to say, you know what, just give up. But I'm here to tell you. Don't give up. Keep praying. God is a God of miracles. God can do things beyond what we imagine. Keep praying for that relationship. Keep praying for that marriage. Keep praying for that son or that daughter, that brother, that sister that's turned their back on God. Keep praying. Keep praying for the healing because God is able to do it. That's why we have the record. And so that's what I often talk about. I say, God, I know what you can do. I've read it in the Bible. I know that you made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. I know that you raised the dead. I know what you can do. And so I just pray that you'll do this. I pray that you'll tear down the walls in this young man's life. I don't know why these walls have come up against you. I don't know why this young lady has said that there is no God. But I pray that you might open her eyes to see, that you might turn his heart to recognize that there is a God. And not just that there's a God, but there's a God that loves them and wants a relationship with them. And so we pray for big things, and we pray for small things, and we pray over and over again asking God to do what we know that only He can do. And we believe it's in accordance with His will. So you know what? I'm not asking you to pray over and over again for, you know, a big car or a big mansion. I don't think, I mean, you can pray for that. God can give you that. But I'm thinking the big things are spiritual things. The big things are healings that demonstrate the power of God and a testimony to who He is. And the small things, it's the physical, it's the spiritual, it's all those things that affect us throughout the day. And it's praying over and over again for the things of God to happen here on earth. As I conclude this series, I just want to remind you that you can pray for anything. But think of big things. Think of big, awesome things you'd like God to see God do, that would glorify Himself, that would turn back the people from their sins. They would open the door for gospel. And humble yourself enough to ask God for the small things, for help with the small things, for wisdom in the small things. You know how many times when I'm driving to the hospital, when I'm driving to somebody's house, when I know that I'm going to have a meeting, I say, God, just give me the wisdom that I need, the words to speak in this moment. Perhaps in the grand scheme of eternity, it's a small event, it's a small meeting. But the words that I speak, the attitude of my heart, can have a dramatic effect. So God, give me the words to speak. God, guard the words that I don't speak, things that I shouldn't. God, help me to not be about this to be about me, but to be about you. Help me to have eyes to see. It all matters. So what are your big prayers? What are your small things that you need to give to God? And what do you need to pray about one or many more times? But keep the conversation going. Keep talking to God and have your mind filled with who He is according to His word, beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, beyond all of that we know. And pray like it. Pray like God can answer all of them. If you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you are beyond our comprehension, that our minds can't even wrap themselves around who you are. But I thank you that you give a testimony in your word of what you can do, what you created all that we see, all that we experience, Lord. You parted the Red Sea. You provided food for the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. You sent down fire upon the altar on Mount Carmel. You made the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and the shriveled arm to stretch out. And you didn't even have to use physical therapy, Lord. They didn't have to go to rehab. They were healed. I thank you that that is the God that we have a relationship with, the Father that we have in heaven. And I pray that you would just expand our imagination, Lord, that we might pray for big things, that we might call upon you to do things that only you can do in a way that only you can do them, so that you will get the praise for it. I thank you that you care about the small things in our life, the daily things, the parts that are things of our routine, Lord. And I just pray that we would humble ourselves and recognize that we need you even in the small. And Lord, that we would not grow weary in our prayers, but we would keep praying for those things, Lord, that would bring you glory, but also those things that burden our heart, that we would not give up, but that we would persevere in prayer. But Lord, I thank you that you invite us into this relationship and you invite us into this conversation. I thank you that we can spend time with you and that we can know you just as you know us. Lord, continue to teach us and guide us and instruct us in prayer, Lord, that we might grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of response this morning is number 605, Living for Jesus. Perhaps you're here this morning and you haven't ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to invite you to do that today. The relationship that I speak of in prayer, the conversation that you have, it comes when you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you recognize that you can't save yourself, but that God made a plan for the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you'd like to know more about that, how you can do that, I'll be down front. I'd love to talk to you this morning. If I can pray with you this morning about something that's going on in your life, I would love to lift you up in prayer. Hymn number 605, Living for Jesus.
Sin and death.
disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call. Follow his leading and give him my all. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine assurance didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Tonight at 5:30, we've got English school, we've got Awana, we've got youth group, we've got adult Bible study at 6 o'clock, got prayer meeting on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock as well. Great opportunity to put in practice some of what we've been talking about over this series, prayer. All right? It's you just pray what's on your heart. It's, I'd say it's not hard. We talk about prayer requests, and then we pray about those prayer requests and other things. You all are invited to come out. We're meeting in the Blue Room, but we can find a bigger place. Don't let that be a deterrent. We'd love to have I'd love to have everybody come out Wednesday night at 6 o'clock to hear one another's burdens, to hear one another's joys, to hear the requests that we make on behalf of ministries in this church, and to pray about them. I love to be there because I love to hear what's going on. It's a time when I get to know those around that table better because I hear the burdens of their heart. Come on out, 6 o'clock. All right?
Yesterday we had a student cleanup day. It was more of a student work day yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. And I just wanted to take a moment and thank our youth leadership team, our pastor, his kids, and Lindsay. For coming out and helping out. It was a lot of fun. We got it done. We'll be showing the before and after pictures in the burr the next time it comes out. So I just wanted to let you all know that it was a lot of fun yesterday, and I appreciate those who came out to help. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for today. It's been good to be in your house. And God, it's just been amazing to be reminded that we can come to you with anything and everything, and that nothing catches you off guard. And so, God, may we be mindful of that. May we not be afraid to ask for the big things and the little things. May we trust you. May we be willing to put ourselves aside to put you first. Now, God, I pray as we step out of these walls that we really, truly would be reflections of you, so that when people look at us, that they would see you first. In Jesus' name, amen.